Now, trees are very interesting. Go ahead and show the sapling one there, Chris. There's the backwards, the one with the hand. Okay, that'll work. So growing in grace, those of us that have planted trees, you know, sometimes you got the little tiny seedling and it just sort of shows up. It's a volunteer. It shows up and you either pull it out of the ground because it's in the middle of the lawn and you don't want it there, or it's in the right place. You go, let's take this little tree and this little clump of dirt that the roots are in and let's go plant this. Now, I'm going to preface everything I'm doing this morning. I want to tell you a little place about what's called the pando. Has anybody ever heard of the pando before? Ah, great. The pando is a 106-acre grove of quaking aspen trees down by Fish Lake, way down yonder in the south central part of the state of Utah. It is one organism. It is one tree. It's 106 acres. And they figure right now, and we'll see a picture of it here later on, a picture of it, it's about 80,000 years old. Now, I did not know, and Chris and I were talking about this earlier, I did not know that with some trees, you have the male tree and you have a female tree. I had no idea. To me, a tree's a tree. It gives you shade, or you cut it down, you burn it for a campfire or whatever, you know, or for building a house. But this grove has been around since the last ice age, they figure. And it's one tree. And it just keeps sending out suckers and sends out suckers and sends out more. And it grows. Let's go to the next one, Chris. So in your Christian walk right now, where are you? Are you that little tiny sapling that's in that piece of dirt? Your roots are hanging on for dear life in the hands of God. Or have you now been planted and you're starting to look like this? And you're going, give me the water. Bring the hose. Bring me the water. Give me fertilizer. Let me grow. That sort of thing. Go ahead, Chris. Next one. Is this you? You've taken root. Now you're branching out. You're looking good. You haven't been stepped on yet by a thoughtless hiker. But you're looking good. Or you're not in a cow pasture. You're looking good. So you're starting to grow. Go ahead, Chris. Now, this to me is starting to look a whole lot better. And so you as a church, we as a church, is that us right now? Are we as a church growing? Are we spreading out our branches? Are we reaching towards heaven? Are we not only helping each other to grow, but are we providing fruit to those around us, to the rest of the world? Go ahead. Now, I like to think of myself as that and not that little sapling thing. So, okay, so I sometimes have an ego problem or a pride problem, but that's one cool tree. And you have to wonder what kind of stories that tree can tell over the ages that it's lived. Kids that have played on it, picnics underneath it, who's carved into it. Bobby Joe loves whoever, you know. So the tree is really mature. Where are you at? Are you that little sapling in the hand, in the dirt? You're some trees, or that's you? Full of power and might and hope a big storm doesn't come along. Next slide, please. Are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? And it's all kinds. You know, you have the, remember, you have the nine fruits of the Spirit. Are you bearing fruit? Who are you touching today, yesterday, or tomorrow? Go ahead, Chris. Now, you go, Dave, what's the point of all that? Well, there are some things that you want to look at in your growth. You are not alone. The Holy Spirit, before we get into this particular slide, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. It says so in Ephesians 1, verses 13 through 14. And it's one of my favorite. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed you were sealed in him with this Holy Spirit as a promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. The Holy Spirit is a promise and a pledge to you. In the Lord, for a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory. We are part of God's glory. As we looked at the little saplings and the hand holding the dirt with the little sapling in it and everything, there's a struggle to grow. Every one of you has had a struggle at one time or another. You have your victories, you have your joys, and then you start over again. You have some more struggles. It's because you've grown and you can handle bigger things. And it continually goes on. Now, when you're growing as a tree, pretend you're all a tree, you got some crazy guy like me that comes along and says, you need to be pruned. Which part do you want pruned? Is it this little twig, or is it this branch that's just sort of cockeyed and taking off in the wrong direction? What do you think is going to go first? The twig might go, and then the bigger crazy branch goes, because that's not the shape that God wants you to be in, or us. Have you felt pruned lately? If you haven't, I guarantee you, God has just taken acknowledgement of the fact that you don't feel pruned, and it's going to happen. And Janice is over there going, oh no, God's picking on me. But we all need to be pruned. Wherever the fruit's not being born, that needs to go. And finally, you will grow. You're going to reach to heaven like those trees that we saw. You're going to reach to heaven. You're going to bear that fruit. But there's that struggle. And there's that needs to be that acceptance of what does the Holy Spirit want you to do. So let's look at some things real quick as to what will help you grow. All right, so that's Muhammad Ali. I remember him as Cassius Clay when he was an Olympic boxer back in 1960 and that sort of thing. But it's all about faith, trust, and conviction. Now, Muhammad Ali, as all of you have probably already read, was really a man of faith and trust. He was also a man who was bold. He wasn't afraid to shake the system. So when he refused the draft in 1967 to go to Vietnam, that really shook up the world. But here was a man who was full of conviction and faith in what he was doing was right. Well, many things that he started, people still refer to that today. It's a good thing. But in your own Christian walk, you need that same faith. You need that conviction. You need the trust. Let's strive for excellence. So you have conviction. You have faith. Let's strive for excellence. This is from Aristotle. Aristotle's what? 3,000 years ago or more. We are what we repeatedly do. Therefore, excellence is not an act, but is a habit. How's your Christian walk? How's the excellence? And I'm not here to shame you in any way, because I struggle too with all these things. I struggle too, because I have this idea of perfection in my Christian walk, and I don't reach it. So I go, okay, tomorrow's a new day. We keep trying. Or I didn't do it right this morning. This afternoon is a new part of the day. We keep moving forward. Excellence. You want excellence. Don't go for mediocrity. Go for excellence. The next one. Increase your understanding. Self-improvement. Read the Bible. Read commentaries. Read books that deal with Christianity. And not everything has to be a Christianity-oriented book to increase your knowledge. There are lots of things out there that come from Hindu. They have some great wisdom. Buddhists. Muslims. There are lots of things out there that you can read that will help you increase in your knowledge and wisdom. Ultimately, you still want to come back to this. But there are a lot of things out there you can read. Lots of self-help. All right. The next one is all about self-control. Now, I'm a huge, huge fan of the Disney movie Hercules. And Hades, in that cartoon movie, is one of my favorite characters because this guy's really got some anger issues going on. And when things turn blue or he's turning red, you can tell that something bad's about to happen. So we're going to play a quick YouTube on how not to manage your self-control.
Paul!
Nice shooting, Rex.
I can't believe this guy. I throw everything I've got at him, and it doesn't even... What are those?
I don't know. I thought they looked kind of dashing.
I've got 24 hours to get rid of this bozo. Well, the entire scheme I've been setting up for 18 years goes up in smoke, and you are wearing his merchandise!
Thirsty?
You ever feel like that? I love that scene. There's another one where he burns down part of the forest when he finds out Hercules is still alive. But I get the humor in it, but there's a self-control issue. So what's the point of this one? Self-control. Go ahead and show the slide, Chris. I love this. The third dog from the right is looking off into the distance, and it's going, I don't see this cat. I do not see a cat in front of me. The one right next to it is more leaning forward, going, here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Yeah, and this cat is just strutting itself, going, you can't touch me. So that's self-control. Now, I identify with the third dog from the right of, this is not happening. This is not happening to me. But I also identify with the fourth dog from the right going, can I go do this? Can I go do this? No, God, I'd really like to go do this. No, Dave, you do not want to go do this. So I'm sure that with some of those, it's pick your own dog. But I saw that and I started laughing. I go, this has got to be part of the sermon. So I'm digging it. Now, after this picture was taken, I don't know what happens to the cat. But it was certainly quite funny to me. All right, the next thing you want to look at is perseverance. And Winston Churchill put it well. Can all of you say amen to this? Because really, when we're having to persevere through something, you might feel like you are in, one foot's in hell, and you don't know where the other foot is necessarily. But it's important not to stop. Be encouraged. Keep going. Next slide, Chris. Those are not dead bodies. Those are a whole bunch of Navy SEAL trainees that are on the beach in Coronado in Southern California. And part of their training is they have to lay in the cold surf for up to 30 minutes, if not an hour, and they just have to take it. Because when they go on their mission, especially if they're underwater and they're coming out of a submarine, the water isn't always going to be warm. It's not going to be Jamaica or down around Venezuela where it's warm, that kind of stuff. It's going to be cold water. So they have to put up with it. Perseverance. We each have to endure that trial we are in. So, no, you're not going to have to do the beach thing. Next time you go to the beach, please don't think of me and this picture at the same time. I'm not setting you up for failure, really. Okay, the next one is do all to please God. It's called godliness. Now, I saw a lot of cartoons that were saying, cleanliness is one step above godliness. And I thought, no, that's the wrong message. Funny as it was, but doing everything you can to please God. So what I want you to take just a second, look at this cartoon, because it is cute. But I want you to take just a minute and think about it and go, what am I doing to please God? Or what does it take to please God? What is it I have to do? And it's more than just cleaning your room. You know, that's really, but what do you need to do? What do you need to work on the inside that's going to be pleasing to God? What person do you need to go talk to go seek forgiveness or give forgiveness that'll be pleasing to God? You know, those sorts of things. So take a minute and think about that. The next thing is love the brethren. Now, I know Elvin and Jill and Rod and a few others, you're very busy with the Act 6 soup kitchen, doing brotherly love. And that's a fantastic spirit. We also, in the wintertime, we as a church, we're part of the Coats in the Winter activity that the Interfaith Council puts together, where we provide hundreds of coats to school kids and others that need coats in order to stay warm. We have lots of different things that we do, but brotherly love to the outside world is what really helps get you noticed. And we as a church seem to be very good at that. All right, Chris, bring up the next one. Isn't that cool? So that little baby, which is probably, what do you think, a couple of weeks old, 1 week old, not very old. If it's another brother surrounded by four brothers, I feel sorry for the parents, because they have their hands full. But at the same time, you look at those four brothers and you see the love that they have for that little baby. Now, if it's a little sister, she's got it made. She has it made. They will dote on her in every way possible. And if she ever has anybody bothering her, they'll go beat her up or beat up the bad person, you know, that sort of thing. But I just think it's a wonderful picture of love. And I do like the haircut of the second child on the right. He's got that whole mohawk thing going. But you know what? Those four little boys are just loving that baby. And I like that. All right. So goodwill towards all. It's active love. We have the brotherly love. We're going out feeding, clothing, that sort of thing. But this is also active love. This is what we do to one another and to those that come into the, you know, the family of God. Let's do the next one, Chris. All right. Who is struggling with this? Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. You ever have any brothers and sisters that you just do not want to be with? It's okay to say yeah. Because if you say no, we're going to talk later on. Because we all got it. I got it. I have to struggle with this too at times. You know, love one another is a very hard thing. But the next slide should put a smile on your face. I like this. I smile because you're my brother or sister. I laugh because there's not a thing you can do about it. So try. Next one. All right, is anybody here struggling with that one? It's okay to say you're struggling. Love thy neighbor thing. I meant that. Love God. So spiritual growth. It's like a tree. A couple of things we have to do. And since we're all, look at yourself as a tree right now. You must grow downward. Roots go deep. There's things in the New Testament where Jesus talks about the seed, where it hits the dirt and just dies, or it goes into the rocks, the thorny ground, but it doesn't thrive. And then where the seed goes into fertile ground and grows and takes root. That's what you need to do. We each need to take the fertile ground, sink our roots deep. We also have to grow upward. And that was these other things that we had up here. Grow upward. Grow towards God. Read. Do the, you know, reimagine yourself. Grow in the Lord. We must grow outward. So we grow towards God. We're growing and sinking our roots, our spiritual being into fertile ground. We also need to go outward. Reach out to the community. Reach out to others within the church. And finally, bear fruit, like that one apple tree that we saw on the slide at the beginning. Bear fruit. It's a clear sign of spiritual health. And that's what you want. We want to be fruitful. Go ahead, Chris. This is part of the grove, the Pando, that's down there by Fish Lake. And look at the solidarity. I mean, I know it all comes off of one big sap root. It goes all sorts of directions. But that's really how God looks at us. That's how God looks at you. We're that tree grove. We're growing upward. Our roots are going down. They're going out, touching others. All God's people said, amen.